not disappear.
Maybe hit him high, but what else can he do? He can't disappear.
In slow motion, it looks a little bit bad. But
accidents happen. They do.
He's done his knees. Well, this is incredible.
Now will come the magic sponge. There it is.
No scissors, no tape. Just a dirty old sponge, and it's worked. The sponge can wipe out a pandemic. It can cure us all.
Yes, welcome back to the Magic Sponge Podcast, a miracle cure for all your rugby league injury issues. I'm Brian Sini. I'm the guy behind the NRL Physio social media pages. My co-host, he's an NRL Nuffy. He's a Physio Nuffy. He's also a Broncos Nuffy. Mate, this week I'm sure you would have been a Suits Nuffy. Surely you watched quite a few seasons just to brush up as we survived our first legal threat this week, which is a big, big milestone for the podcast.
Look, Brian, it could have been the end of the Magic Sponge, but luckily we binged through a few seasons of Suits, so we came to the legal rescue and the sponge lives to fight another day. We're back on a Tuesday night this week, not a Sunday night, but good to be back, Brian, and long may it stay.
Yeah, mate, and how are you feeling about the Bronx into the prelims? I mean, we're both going to, you're going to make the trek down the coast. I'm making the trek in from Belmont, which is a long way, but we're going to go to the game on Saturday night, and I am super keen, as you can see from my, lovely shirt here. You know where my support's going to be? It's going to be with SJ, the big man. But how are you feeling? You feeling confident?
Very confident. I think it's going to be a great night on Saturday night. It's going to be probably the pick of the games, I reckon. I think it's going to be a ripper.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. All right, let's get into it, guys. As you know, we talk about NRL injuries, usually relate them into Supercoach, fantasy scoring, all that kind of stuff. That's obviously over at the moment, so we'll talk about how we think these big players left in the comps, there's only four teams left, how this is going to affect their performance leading into the prelims and then into the grand final. If you find yourself getting value out of this content, as always, patreon.com/NRLphysio, but otherwise, let's get stuck straight in. I reckon we'll breeze through tonight. The finals week two, an NRLW injury wrap.
I don't know exactly what he's done. I would have thought it was an ankle, but I'm just guessing.
He shouldn't be out for a long period of time. I'm no doctor. We have to wait for the scans, obviously, but that'd be more positive than negative.
One of the last injury wrap-ups of the season, Brian. First game of the round was, or the finals, I should say, was Storm v Roosters. Few out of this one that are worth talking about. So Jerome Hughes was a calf injury. Xavier Coates was that ankle injury. And then probably in a similar vein, we can probably talk about SJ straight off the bat with a calf injury as well, can't we, for the Warriors there?
Yeah, I think Hughes and SJ, obviously, pretty similar boats. I mean, you can draw parallels from what Hughes is doing right now to what SJ has been through in the last couple of weeks. The main concern, we speak about it all the time with calf injuries, is kind of the rehab taking longer than you'd hoped. I think that Hughes suffered the injury in finals week one, obviously couldn't get up for the second week, which, you know, made the game, look at like whether he would have had much influence on the, you know, the result being a bit more comfortable for the Storm. That's wait till, you know, the final minute to get the win. But I think he's already done some running this week, so he's already sort of completed some training already. That's a really good sign. Like, not even SJ's going through that. They're really managing his load. I think the main thing to talk about here is that while with calf injuries, usually when guys are fit to return to play, I'm not all that stressed about their re-injury risk. It's more about that sort of lengthy rehab process. But I think here, teams are going to be pushing guys to come back that little bit earlier than they probably would like. Now, Hughes is obviously no chance. He did barely any training last week on a fresh injury. But, the signs are pretty good at the moment, but I've still got that concern for re-injury during the game, and I think they're carrying Wishart on the bench. That doesn't surprise me, even if Hughes does play as a bit of a backup there. SJ, I'm feeling pretty confident about. Like, he got through the weekend really, really well. He wasn't his, I would say, and I'm not sure if you'd agree, but I sort of thought that SJ probably wasn't his usual explosive self as such in terms of with ball in hand. But just the guile and the ball playing, you know, putting guys in the right spaces, he was still, you know, so valuable to that team. And I think Hughes can kind of play a similar role for the Storm this weekend.
Yeah, he did look a bit more pass first, Brian, but I agree with you. I think he looked you know, close enough to full fitness there. And he's very important for the structure of that team as well. While we're on the Warriors there on SJ, there's probably just a couple more to mention here. So Murata Neokore had a MCL injury in his knee, and Josh Curran has been reported as a finger injury as well. Are they expected to miss time, or should we see them potentially lining up this week?
Yeah, so they're both looking good to play, I think. Neokore actually, look, the replay wasn't great, but it looked pretty nasty at the time. Like, for him to sort of have that injury, I was mostly going off kind of the player's like response to the injury, which I never like to do. But he looked pretty hampered. Like, he needed to almost be helped off the field. So I was like, far out, that's not looking good. It looked like an MCL kind of sprain, but he was able to strap it up and come back on. So potentially just a really, really painful grade one, I guess. So yeah, lucky there, but apparently he's in no doubt. And then Josh Curran, just a dislocated finger. Going back to the Storm, they also had that Xavier Coates with his ankle. He was only on the bike at training today, what I believe. So I just don't, I'm not even sure actually, was he named in
the
squad?
Yeah, I don't think he was named actually, yeah, right. Brian. Okay, so I don't think he's any chance of being there this week, is my understanding.
Yeah, yeah. So he's gone. And then look, even next week, like as we spoke about with those high ankles, they are tough to sort of get up and down really quickly. If it was a low ankle or lateral ankle sprain, it'd be a lot easier. But yeah, no, with the high ankle sprains, that was one that we said at the time we were a bit sort of dubious on whether there was more to it than just, you know, your straightforward low-grade syndesmosis injury. So, yeah, I'm still a bit questionable on that one as to, you know, are we getting the full story? But, yeah, it doesn't sound like he'd be a long shot for next week as well. But all the other guys, I mean, Hughes, a really good chance for this week. SJ obviously confirmed, and then Neokore and Curran sounding like they're in as well.
Very good. So we're just going to wrap up the Knights here, Brian. Obviously, it's season over for them, but just a few people that are worth talking about and a couple of interesting ones, actually. But we'll start with probably the more straightforward ones. Tyson Frizzell, calf strain. Vince Crossan's been reported as a grade 2 MCL. Kurt Mann with a concussion. And then two interesting ones. We're talking about Kalen Ponga again. Is he facing surgery on that AC joint injury after this season? And also Jackson Hastings, you put up a really good post about his fibula fracture that he sustained and he was obviously playing with before exacerbating that, and he'll be looking at further surgery on that fibula fracture, won't he?
Yeah, so really, like I've spoken about Jackson Hastings and his toughness pretty commonly over the last couple of seasons. Like, he had a toe sort of nerve injury or bone injury that he was playing through at the Tigers, where he's wearing a boot, like wasn't training, you know, was getting out there every weekend, those kind of things, like really sort of putting his body on the line, you know, not taking a month off to sort of let it settle down. He was just playing week in, week out. Now we've got another example where I think they scanned it after the hip drop from Jake Preston, you know, there was a small fracture under the plate that they thought, you know, is that from Preston? Is it? And they kind of thought that he's been playing through it for most of the season. So, you know, and then he knows that that's there and then continues, you know, he came back. He had a few weeks off, but then came back and played. And oh man, just to suffer that fracture. And if you have a look on the post, like, that is a real x-ray of Jackson's fibula, that broken fibula that was in the Daily Telegraph on the weekend. And just, yeah, right in that spot. And you hear us talk about a fair bit about how there is a bit of an increased fracture risk on the edge of like surgical plates that have been inserted. And it's just that different, obviously the metal plate is really, really hard, and then the bone probably isn't quite as hard. So there's going to be some physics nerds out there, and I can't think of the word that comes to mind, but it's just that different sort of, I guess, tension coefficient or something like that, where, you know, the plate is obviously harder, the bone's that little bit softer. So where those two things join, there is an increased risk where if you cop a blow at right at the right spot on the edge of that plate, the plate can dig dig in, almost dig into the bone and snap it at that point. And that looks like what has happened, because we spoke about it last week, I wouldn't have said that that was a huge blow to his lower leg, but it was just obviously right at the wrong spot and caused a pretty significant fracture. So he'll be, he'll be facing at least sort of 2 to 3 months recovery, best case. The one thing that probably makes his a little bit quicker than Ponga's a lot of the time is the than Pappenhausen's, because they're both fractured fibulas, is that he didn't have the syndesmosis repair as well. So there was no ligament damage associated to go along with that. So you just got to wait for that bone to heal. It is a significant plate that he's got on there now. I think before it was like 8 centimeters. Now it's 15 centimeters or something like that. So fairly big surgical plate there. But yeah, he should be fine come next year. Kalyn Ponga, the surgery look unlikely. Usually you're going to avoid it. I think there were some rumours or there was a report that it was a grade 5 AC joint injury, and we spoke about it at the time that that's usually just a really bad grade 3. But I think, even in those kind of cases, you want to try and avoid surgery if you can. It's mostly just like a cosmetic thing almost, how it looks rather than how it functions, because as we've seen, he's still played fairly well the past couple of weeks. So I don't think there's too many concerns there. He hasn't, I think he got added to the Kangaroos train-on squad and hasn't even been ruled out from that. So I would say he's probably going to try and represent the Kangaroos post-season by the sounds of things, unless something comes out in the next couple of days. Yeah, and Tyson Frizzell with the calf strain. Apparently he was playing through a grade 1 calf strain. Phoenix Crossland had a grade 2 MCL. Just examples of players playing through those, injuries that they usually wouldn't come final series. And then Kurt Mann with his concussion were the 3 injuries out of that game to talk about.
Final wrap-up, Brian, from NRL was the Penrith Panthers. So 2 interesting names got named this week. So obviously Jerome Luai with the shoulder concern, and then Isaac Tungo got named this week as well, coming off the pec strain. Do you think the Panthers are going to risk them into this game?
Mate, this is probably the biggest question of the week, is Jerome Luai. It's certainly got a lot of people talking. I've had people, I've seen reports he looks really good at training. Then other ones where, didn't look like he was doing much. He apparently did his first full contact training today, Tuesday. So it'd be interesting to see how he pulls up after that. Is the shoulder super sore come tomorrow? So that'll probably be a big indicator, because it's not just getting through that training session, it's then how it pulls up the next day. That's going to be a big one. Look, for me, I was always pretty confident in him coming back. I was even, thinking if they lost week 1 that he was going to be a chance at week 2. So I was always pretty hopeful that he'd be right for this week. I'm not sure if you've seen, and we haven't spoke about this off air yet, but I'll bring it up now. I saw our good friend Philip Ronald Gould on his show, I think it's 100% Footy or whatever it is, and effectively said, everything that the real NRL physios never want me to say, which he was very specific in saying that medically it's impossible, it can't happen. If Jerome Luai comes back this week, then everyone in the NRL will be asking how's it been done, because it shouldn't be able to happen with that diagnosis and all this kind of stuff. But, I don't know. For me, James, I track the numbers pretty closely. Once again, not inside NRL 4, NRL walls or anything like that. But just even going off pure numbers, we've seen so many guys come back from a shoulder dislocation in 3 to 4 weeks in the last, since 2018 when I've started tracking it. Look, they're at an increased risk of injury, sure, and an increased risk of sort of the shoulder popping out again. But it can absolutely happen. Now, obviously, he's got significant joint damage, labrum damage there too, which makes it even harder. There's going to be a lot of pain involved, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it's a prelim. We're talking do or die. The Panthers, they want to go 3 in a row. I think, I don't think it would, I certainly don't view it, if he plays this weekend, as like some sort of miracle, or they're underreporting the injury or anything like that. We've seen it happen time and time again over the last 4 or 5 years with shoulder dislocations, with joint damage. Isaiah Yeo came back in 4 weeks after suffering one. It is one just off the top of my head. So, I mean, I don't know. I know I'm hitting you with that information pretty, off the cuff. But, I mean, sure, like we spoke about it when it first happened, that we were kind of fairly confident that around this time would be his return. Are you sort of thinking similar that it's not, you know, this miracle or whatever? I saw, you know, on one of the things, they're calling it a miracle recovery or something like that. I just don't see it as that.
Yeah, I think it's within the realms of possibility. I think the good example you gave was Isaac Luke coming back in 2 weeks after his shoulder dislocation a few years back. And he's obviously, at the time, he's an 80-minute hooker, played in the middle, you know, big defensive workload. It has been shown that it's possible within that time frame. I don't think it's in the realm of Cooper Cronk playing with a very fractured shoulder blade and getting, you know, extensively needled before and at halftime. I don't think it's in that realm. I think Jerome's sort of doing something that we've seen done before. I think Cooper Cronk's was completely different. It's something that we've never seen done, and that was sort of a major injury. But we don't have the exact ins and outs of his injuries, do we? We don't really know the integrity of his calf. We don't really know, has he got a big old bank heart lesion as well, or some heel sax deformities on the humerus head itself? We don't know those things. So I guess maybe, you know, Phil Gould's got some inside lane there about what's going on. But I guess what we've got to go off, if it's a shoulder dislocation with labrum stuff, it has been shown, it's been done before. So I agree with you. I think he'll be there this weekend for the Panthers. And I guess it'll determine, I think they'll win and win probably fairly comfortably. But how he pulls up is probably going to be the big challenge for him getting through this weekend and the next, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that if there is, you know, some underlying stuff that, that people like us or even the journos are privy to that we aren't, that obviously changes things a little bit. But from my perspective, I don't see it as a miracle at this point in time with the information that we have. I don't see it as, you know, impossible or a medical, you know, marvel or anything like that. We've seen it consistently time and time again. Like, the average is 5 to 6 weeks, but we've seen guys come back in that 3 to 4 week range, even Isaac Luke, 2 weeks. So my main concern and the question I've had is, like, what's his risk of ring injury? And that's high. Like, it's high, because especially in those first couple of weeks back, you're talking above 15-20% in those first few weeks back, because it's just something that, yeah, you can plan for as much as you want. So you can practice falling, you know, the right way, not with the arm outstretched. You can have a brace on that tries to limit it, all that kind of stuff. But if you're put in a position on the try line that you've got to make a, you know, try-saving tackle or something like that, you just got to do what you got to do. And that's the stuff you can't really predict. So, you know, a hamstring injury, overall, the re-injury risk of a hamstring injury for any game, you know, is 10 to 30%. With around the first two games back, it's around that 10% mark. For a shoulder dislocation, you're looking at an overall re-injury risk of above 50%. So it's obviously going to be a little bit higher in those first couple of games than a hamstring injury, which is around 10%. So, you know, the re-injury risk is quite high, but he's only got to get through two games. That's the thing. So if you look at it, let's say it's 15, let's even say it's 20% his re-injury risk, means 4 out of 5 times he's getting through this game, and then 4 out of 5 times he's getting through a grand final. If you can carry Jack Hogger on the bench, you probably take that, because I expect Jerome Luai's performance to be relatively good still, like doing the things that he wants to do. He'll probably miss a few tackles, might be a bit limited in defensively, but attack-wise, he should still be his usual self. So, like, I personally, you know, think that kind of situation is definitely worth it. Isaac Tungo with the pec strain, I'm probably a little bit more doubtful on him, just because it's a pec, like, you know, he's had another pec injury from earlier in the year. We don't know exactly, is it a direct re-injury? Is it, you know, something else? I'd say the odds are that it is a re-injury, because very rarely do you see, you know, pec strains, let alone two in a season. But yeah, I'm still a bit 50-50 on him. And then he's someone, even if he does play, you know, two pec injuries in a season, there is that risk of re-injury as well. So, Yeah, I mean, I've just come off saying Jerome Luai's, you know, worth the risk. Isaac Tungo, a really good player, but centre probably not as pivotal a position as your star 5'8". So I wonder whether they can get away without Tungo this weekend and then save him for a potential grand final.
Yeah, very good call. NRLW is what we're going to wrap up finally here, Brian. So I'm just going to list names and injuries here, and if you want to extensively talk about them, then just chime in after the end. So Jesse Southwell with a sort of a thigh cork mechanism for her. Sheridan Gallagher had a knee injury. Millie Boyle, shoulder injury. Keely Davis, hamstring injury. Jess Surge's finger concern we've spoken about before. Tyler Wong was a neck injury. Jasmine Peters, ankle injury from that was a hip drop tackle again, wasn't it? That was a nasty one. Bovet Wall was a calf injury, and Kezzy Abs was a foot injury. Is there anyone that you want to talk to a little bit more there, given that the NRLW finals are upon us as well?
Yeah, so I think the first four, Jesse Southwell, Sheridan Gallagher, both from the Knights, they're both looking to play. I think Southwell was just a cork, which is good. Millie Ball and Keely Davis had this week off with their shoulder and hamstring injuries, respectively. I think both are looking good to play this weekend. I'm a bit more worried about Davis, just with it being a hamstring injury, but yeah, look, still, I mean, it's finals. Jess Surges with the finger, she doesn't have a splint on her finger, which is good, but I think next week is always more likely. I'm not counting her out for this week, but my feeling is that the Roosters are pretty confident they're going to win this week, and they're going to save her for next week, and that's probably the way I'd approach it too, with the way that they're going at the moment. Jasmine Peters with the ankle, that's just worth mentioning really quickly, because the old hip drop tackle, I read an article today that the NRL has actually reached out to clubs in the NRLW and been like, you guys need to sort this out, because there's been a lot of injury from hip drop tackles in the NRLW this year. And particularly, like, I can think of three in the last 3 weeks, where there was Jasmine Peters, last week was Saratoga Tuki, and then there was the MCL from the Dragons. Her name...
she played 13 as well. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yes, so my apologies for forgetting her name. But, yeah, like, that was a nasty hip drop as well. So you've got three in 3 weeks that are, you know, effectively cause season-ending injuries. I know, but, like, even if you make the argument it's a short season, like, they're still significant injuries. And I think with the hip drop, like, I even posted something about Saquon, our good friend in the NFL, Saquon Barkley. Mm. He suffered, you know, another injury from a hip drop and all that kind of stuff. And once again, the whole debate of all that kind of stuff. And I think the more I think about hip drops, the more I sort of come to the conclusion is that you can argue back and forth to your black and blue in the face about the dirtiness of them, or, you know, whether they're foul play or anything like that. But that to me is just a matter of opinion. You know, it's subjective. Do I think it's dirty? Do I think it's not? Like, how can you look into the intent? Like, people say it's not intentional. You look at, like, it's so hard to figure that out. So, like, I think that argument for me, I just go, it's each individual person, whatever you think. But the thing you can't deny at this point in time with hip drop tackles, I think, is that they carry with them a high degree of danger to the ball carrier. It's that simple, like a high degree of severe injury. So whether it's intentional, whether it's not, they carry a high risk. They can cause significant ankle injuries and significant knee injuries relatively easily when they're performed. So whether you want to do nothing about that or whether you want to do something about that, I think with the game having identified a tackle technique that consistently causes significant injuries, like, I don't think you can deny that at this point in time, that they do, because it's time and time again, it is happening. It's happening over and over again. So that's sort of where I sit with the hip drop tackle these days, is just sort of go to the facts and go, well, we can't really get past that. And then Bovetti Welsh with the calf and Kezzy Apps with the foot, they missed the last game for the Tigers, but they're both looking good for Australian selection if they are picked.
Yep. Very good, Brian. So I think that's the wrap of the injuries going into finals time for the NRL and NRLW. We'll go straight into the Patreon questions now. So patreon.com/NRLphysio. Use the internet if you need to get onto that to get the in-depth answers here to the Magic Sponge. So question number one, Brian, did you see Wade Egan come off late on the weekend? This Patreon question said, looks like he was concussed, thought he'd had a few this season. What was your take on what happened with Wade Egan on the weekend? I didn't see that in detail, Brian. I must have missed it. I wasn't paying as much attention, probably.
Yeah, I actually was surprised at the time because he went down after a pretty heavy, kind of got his head in the wrong spot, tackle, lay motionless for a little bit on the ground with his arms sort of across his body and his eyes closed, and then sort of ran off. And nothing was said of it really much at all. I went and checked the official interchange log and it was just a regular interchange. But yeah, nothing's been said of it. And he definitely, like mechanism-wise, he got hit in the head during the tackle. His saving grace is it did flex his head to the side. So whether it was just a burner and that's all it was, like that's the only thing I can think of. Because other than that, I'm just shocked that we haven't heard more about it, that he didn't undergo a HIA. I thought that was really strange. So something that I don't think we're going to hear anything about it now, but I just wonder whether the NRL's looked into that because I know Wade Egan's already had two concussions this year. You know, that would have been his, you know, third if it was a concussion. It doesn't sound like it was, obviously. But yeah, I did notice it. It was something that surprised me that it wasn't at least checked. It wasn't, you know, maybe he was taken for HIA and it just wasn't announced or anything like that. But yeah, I did spot that and thought it was strange at the time.
Yeah, very good. I didn't have anything else to add on that one, Brian. Probably second question here is about Xavier Wilson from the Broncos. Any news on his ankle injury?
Yeah, I don't have confirmation, but I know that he was still in a boot as of this week. So whether that's a boot post-ankle surgery or he's just got a moderate grade syndesmosis injury, look, either way, I think he's out for the season. But even if it's worst case and he's required surgery, it's, you know, 10 weeks max, even taking their time, 10 to 12 weeks. So he'll be fine for the start of preseason. So I don't think you should be too concerned about Willison all that much. Okay, guys, I think that's all we've got for the big injuries this week. Let's go over to our Bundy Mixer picks. Mate, let's talk about it. I mean, we both scored the same this week, so we're equally good blokes. But you probably get claimed to being the best bloke this week because you got the same score as me with playing one player short.
Yeah, so a bit of a dud move by me. I didn't actually check that Keely Davis was missing, and she was in my hooker position. I scored 383, so I had Munster, Isabel Kelly, Callum Ponga, Tohu Harris, Georgia Hale, and Keely Davis. So my boost went on Munster and Isabel Kelly, which is probably the reason I sort of made up the gap there for Keely Davis. So not a big week, 383 is not the hugest score, but in this week upcoming, Brian, so I'm going back to Keely Davis. I'm going to put her back in the hooking position there if she gets the start. Georgia Hale, Liam Martin, Nathan Cleary, Isabel Kelly, and Reece Walsh. I'm going to go hot at fullback. Because I need something to cheer for on the Saturday night when we're down there at Suncorp. So that's why I'm going to roll out my Bundy Mixer team this week. What are your thoughts on this week coming and how do you go as well?
Yeah, mate, I boosted Hale and SJ. So SJ did okay. Hale was just, it seems like, I know our lesson and you've got it on the run sheet there, just pick and stick Hale, but she's just killing me. Every week I've picked her, she's gone like sub 45. And I know that's still solid, but I want my 60s from my, you know, from my player who I boost. So I had Ponga and Egan. They stunk it up a little bit as well. Koenig was a good pick, so I was happy with that. But James, my hot take this week, I'm going away from the NRLW in the middle this week for the first time, I think, in forever. I'm going Isaiah Yeo. I'm just locking him in. Like, I think he, you know, he plays big minutes in there. I had a look at his scores. He's pumping out 60 each week. I'm just happy to do that and go with, so I'm going Keely Davis as well, and at fullback I'm going Tamika Upton. So I think I've got a sneaky suspicion that the Bronx win that game, but I still like the upside of Upton at home. So that's what I'm going with there. I'm going to boost Isabel Kelly and Cleary. I think Cleary's just an easy, you know, like lock him in and captain him because I'm like you. I kind of get the feeling that game's going to be like probably Penrith by 13 plus.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I think that's the way I'd roll with it as well.
Yeah, 100%. All right, guys, quick one this week. That's probably our record for the shortest pod ever, which is good. Not too many injuries to talk about, which is always fun. Look, guys, if you like the pod, give us a review, recommend to a friend, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure we'll have some awesome content coming out on Saturday night of James and I just going wild at the footy. If you're there and you see us, say hey, tell us how good the podcast is. I'm sure we all love it, and we will celebrate potentially a Broncos victory or an SJ into the finals plus a Dally M win next week. So it's a win-win for me this week. I wouldn't mind seeing the Bronx get up, but also if SJ makes the final, oh, man, I'm good either way. I know you're not, but I am definitely good either way.
I think either way, Brian, it's definitely shaping up to be the better of the two games. I think on paper, this is just box office. I think it's just going to be so, so, so good. Suncorp's going to be heaving. Caxton Street's going to be heaving. Queensland Spirit, get around it. Get around the Bronx.
And, mate, if you notice, you know, there's only one New South Wales side left in the comp. So I know we won't mention that there's only one Queensland comp as well. But I feel like Melbourne, you know, plenty of Queenslanders in there. SJ, honorary Queenslander, I'm going to claim him. Like, you know, it's just the final series is Queensland Spirit is all I've got to say.
Yeah, it's Queensland Spirit and vibe. It's definitely vibey this year. It's definitely vibey.
Well, mate, the Warriors, they you know, lived in Redcliffe for 2 years, pretty much. Well, so, you know, there you go. It's pretty much the Redcliffe New Zealand Warriors is what I think.
That's right.
All right, guys, that's enough dribble from us. Have a good week. And look, as always, up the mighty, mighty Redcliffe Dolphins.
Suspected broken left fibula.
Suffering syndesmosis.
After that stem cell injury that he's come back from.
That's about it, mate.